You're listening to WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
Check, check, one, two. Look like a little country. Some rock and roll and blues. Cause we sure love playing for good people like you. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, one, two.
You are listening to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, the radio show that features conversations with and the music of local musicians and traveling musicians performing in town. I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with Natasha Drina and Chris Brent Davis about their upcoming cabaret performance at the historic Savannah Theater entitled You Made Me Love You, a Judy Garland Cabaret, which will be one night only, and it's on this coming Monday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. And this is a fundraiser for the Savannah Repertory Theater, and tickets are available by going to www.savannahrep.org. And I already have my front of orchestra seats. Welcome to Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, Chris, and welcome back, Natasha.
Oh, we're so glad to be here.
For real.
So we've talked to Natasha before, and so we know her history, but Chris, this is the first time you've been on the show, so tell me your musical journey.
I started playing the piano when I was 7 years old. I sat down and plunked out Tomorrow from Annie on the piano, and my mom was like, okay, fine, we'll get you piano lessons. Stop just sitting at the piano for hours. Which was funny because then I just ended up sitting at the piano for hours. And I took to it very quickly. I started playing for my school choir when I was 10 and church when I was 12. And then I have been a professional musician since I graduated from high school. And I've worked everywhere all over the city of Atlanta. And I have taken a recent break to sort of collect my thoughts and recenter myself and shift it into education. And I'm just getting back into conducting this summer. I'm doing Cinderella at True Colors Theater Company.
He never takes a break from me.
No. Never.
Never. I'm always like, I know you're on hiatus, but ...
Exactly.
Can we go to Austin? Can we go to Savannah? Can we do this?
Right, right, right. And I always say yes. Literally every time Natasha calls, it's always a yes.
And so what type of things do you normally perform at around Atlanta before you took your break?
So I'm a music director for musical theater. So I worked at City Springs Theater Company, The Alliance. Worked primarily in the past 3 or 4 years, mostly on musicals and development. I did The Incredible Book-Eating Boy a couple of summers ago, written by Christian Magbee and Christian Albright and Madri. Really lovely book writers. They wrote a really beautiful piece, and I worked on that. And then, I'm doing musicals, mostly.
And so, how did the two of you meet?
I've played Judy Garland in two plays. One was called Beyond the Rainbow and one was called End of the Rainbow. And in Beyond the Rainbow, I pretty much just played a version of Judy Garland doing her Carnegie Hall concert. And then there was like four actors that moved around the stage and did flashback scenes. And then End of the Rainbow is a play about the last month or so of her life in London when she's at the talk of the town. And Chris played in the pit for that show, which was, well,
it was 2014.
Yeah. And we just really hit it off. That was an interesting piece because there was a person on stage playing one of Judy's or an amalgam of Judy's accompanists. And sometimes that person would be playing at the onstage grand piano and Chris would kind of be on second keys. And then other times Chris was playing the songs in the pit as if it was the band at Talk of the Town. So we just really hit it off there. And then I had the opportunity to do the play again up in Highlands, North Carolina. And they said, who do you want to go with you? And I said, oh, Chris and Tony. I don't know if you'll use some of the pictures with Tony in them, but he played Mickey Deans, which was her husband at the time. And so, and the stage manager, Kat Turney. Mm-hmm. So Chris and Tony and Kat and I had the opportunity to go and live in Highlands, North Carolina, in like for 3 months in the most beautiful time of the year. It was lovely.
But we actually did a musical like 9 months before that, and we met on dinner break. I played keys too on a production of Les Mis, and Natasha played Fantine about 9 months before that, and we met one time on dinner break. And it was
That's
such a like
probably.
such a Fast and Furious moment. So then when I showed up to End of the Rainbow, I could tell like she kind of recognized me, but I had not been downloaded. And then the part of this whole story is that it wasn't just that I had to play the piano a couple of times, I had to play the big songs. I had to play A Man That Got Away and Over the Rainbow. And Natasha is a very generous musician and really fun collaborator, but she also knows what she's doing. So, like, I literally, like, even right now, I'm like, cannot make a mistake. She will know. So that was sort of the beginning of it all. And then we did a concert right after End of the Rainbow at Serenby. That was our first time doing all of the Judy. That was when it really took off.
Something to what Chris is saying is that because I was raised on Judy Garland, pretty much like as a babysitter through the Turner Classic Movie channel, and in my story, similarly, I didn't want to take piano lessons. And so I was revolting at age 7 against my piano lessons. And so my piano teacher taught me Over the Rainbow, which is what I sang for my voice teacher, like audition. And so she just assumed I loved Judy Garland. So I have my book. I'm hugging my book that she made me drive to San Francisco and buy that has every, and then she taught me every song in this book at age 7. Even the concert years, like weird songs. Joey, there's a song for Joey. There's a song for Lorna. There's a song called Liza, Till the Clouds Roll Away. So I've known all of these songs my whole life, and I can tell you what arrangements, what we learned, I think, during End of the Rainbow was Mickey, well, Sid Luft, husband number three, was notorious for not paying piano players and arrangers. And so there was a time period where her longtime collaborator, Mort Lindsey, and her broke up. She didn't know why. And she went through all these other arrangers. So there's very tiny details. Because she wasn't allowed to use songs she had been singing a certain way for years and years and years. And so I can very much say, like, oh, I want to do this just in time from the Judy Garland show. It has five key changes and like a turnaround ending. And Chris is just the best at understanding which version I'm talking about. And what I always think is really interesting and what I love about Chris is I always say Judy sings like a duet with her accompanist. They never play the melody for her. She sings the melody and they do the harmony. And that's a really rare thing for someone who is a well-trained piano player because they're used very much what's on the page and very much playing as a soloist. And so it's not surprising for me to hear that Chris was accompanying people at age 10, because that's really a gift that is hard to express. I do Over the Rainbow with other people, and I'm always like, oh, it's fine, but it's not like 100% authentic.
She actually said something very similar on the first concert that we did together. I'll literally never forget it. She goes, "You just understand the dance so well." She says, "Sometimes you get to talk, and sometimes I get to talk. Sometimes you need to push me, and sometimes I'm gonna push you." But like, we're just constantly in conversation with each other, and it really is why I always pick up the phone and say yes, because it's also the same is true of singers. Some singers understand that, and some singers don't. Some singers want to be in total control of the sound, and they want to fully be in the driver's seat, and some want you to lead them entirely, but I do believe that the dance is like where the fun is happening, and so I just will always remember that.
So basically, what we'll be hearing then is the two of you weaving back and forth like a couple on the dance floor.
Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire.
And so, Natasha will be singing, and Chris, you'll be singing as well as playing the piano.
Just playing as of right now. There's no plan to sing.
We did sing in our last rehearsal. We need to find a duet that we could do together, but it just somehow, there's not an arrangement that I have found in all of my years of YouTube deep holes of Judy Garland where she ever really sings with a tenor or countertenor. Right. Like, you know, it's always Mel Torme or Mickey Rooney or Howard Keel. Or then she's, well, women voicing. Chris could do any of the other.
In Austin, I did actually sing the Barbara part in Happy Days. I sang it in the rehearsal. I don't know if you remember.
Oh,
passing me the mic. I was deep in the throes of just stress of playing with a symphony for the first time. And she's like, here, sing. And I was like, great.
Well, of course, Happy Days, Get Happy, is the classic duet of Barbara Streisand and Judy Garland. Which they did several times, but I think first on the Judy Garland show back in the early 60s.
Forget your troubles.
Happy days.
Come on, get happy.
I'm here again.
You better change.
Cares above a clear again.
Shout hallelujah.
So let's sing a song.
Come on, get happy.
Cheer again.
Get ready.
Happy days are here again.
The sun is shining.
Together.
Come on, get happy.
Shout it now.
Love
is no
way. Shout hallelujah.
So let's tell the world
and just get happy
about it now.
We're
happy days are here again.
We're heading across a river. Soon your cares will all be gone.
There'll be
Yeah, that's true. I think Judy always was really great about introducing new performers when she had the show. That was something she was really passionate about. So that is always in the show, whether we're at the symphony or in a one-off type of cabaret experience. This year, Tegan Miller will be doing the Barbara Streisand part. I know you've had her on the show before. She's got Spectra Choir. They're amazing. FM choir here in Savannah. I just love her. We've been friends forever. She's just got that crystal clear sound. And I think she tells us she's also going to sing People, which is classic Barbara Streisand. The second set of this show is very Judy Garland and Friends. Yeah, classic Judy Garland show style thing versus like a Carnegie Hall style thing.
Well, so the first half will be then straight Judy Garland and the second half will be a mixture?
Well, Judy and Friends. We'll call it Judy and Friends in the second half of the show.
And so Judy Garland has such a wealth of music that you can do. How do you decide on a song to start with?
Yeah, so she almost always in her concert years starts with When You're Smiling. I've seen compilations people put together, but if you go back and look through her set list, she almost always starts with When You're Smiling. And that was at Talk of the Town, and that was at Carnegie Hall. So Chris and I always start with When You're Smiling.
When you're smiling, when you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, when you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, be happy again. Keep on smiling when you're If you suddenly find out you've been deceived, don't get peeved. If your husband bluntly tells you you're too stout, don't you pout. And for heaven's sakes, retain a calm demeanor. When a cop walks up and hands you a subpoena, if the groom should take a powder while you're marching down the aisle, don't weep and moan because he's blown. Just face the world and smile. 'Cause when you're crying, don't you know that your makeup starts to run? And your eyes get red and scrappy. Forget your troubles, have yourself a little fun. Have a ball, forget it all. Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. Keep on smiling, 'cause when you're
it was in the show in End of the Rainbow, but it was like in the second act.
It was top of two.
Yeah.
I think.
Yes. And kind of this train wreck moment for her in the play, which everything's kind of going downhill. She's staying out too late. Things are, you know, going on. So we never really got to do it solo without interruption. So in the play, it's got these kind of weird interruptions. She actually like throws the music at one point and walks off stage. So it's fun for Chris and I to do the whole thing without the temper tantrum. And the second song is kind of as important as the first song. It really sets up for me when I write set lists for cabarets. The second song really sets up like what we're doing tonight. Yeah, Chris and I almost always back to back do When You're Smiling. And then there's a lovely medley of almost like Being in Love, This Can't Be Love, which Chris arranged for me for that evening at Serenby.
What a day this has been. What a rare mood I'm in. Why, it's almost like being in love. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. Why, it's almost almost like being in love. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I could tell I was falling. I would swear I was falling. It's almost like being in love. Almost like being in love. Almost is almost. But this can't be love because I feel so well. No sorrow. Sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love. I get no dizzy spell. My head's not in the sky. My heart does not stand still. Hear it beat. This is too sweet. Because I feel so well, and yet I love to love. Glad I'm alive, love to live, think I'll survive. There's a smile on my face for the whole human race. All the music of life seems to be like a bell that is ringing for me. And from the way that I feel when that bell starts to peal, I could tell I was falling. I would swear I was falling.
Once something kind of works, we took our set list from Austin and we were like, okay, what still works? What feels like maybe we want to say something a little differently this time? But a lot of the flow of the show kind of stays the same.
Oh, it does. And then whenever I'm like, oh, what haven't we done yet? Chris is like, you don't have the medley in there yet. I'm like, oh, perfect. Right. A big boisterous three songs, three classics also. And then it's funny when I go back and listen to the Carnegie Hall concert, which I think is, you know, one of the greatest nights in musical history. I'm like, oh gosh, I put those back to back. Like the medley and then After You've Gone, which is, I haven't listened to the full Carnegie concert in a lot of years, but it's like ingrained that comes after that for whatever reason.
You made me love you. I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do it. You made me love you. And all the time you knew it. I guess you always knew it. You made me happy sometimes. You made me glad. But there were times, dear, you made me feel so bad. Made me sigh, 'cause I didn't want to tell you. I didn't want to tell you. I think you're grand, that's true. Yes, I do, deed I do. You know I do. I can't tell you what I'm feeling. feeling. The very mention of your name sends my heart reeling. You know you made me love you. The bells are ringing for me and my gal. The birds are singing for me and my gal. Singing with me, please. Everybody's been knowing to a wedding they're going. Come on. And for weeks they've been sewing. Every Susie and Sal, they're congregating for me and my gal. The parson's waiting for me and my gal. And someday we're going to build a little home for two or three or four or more in Loveland for me and my gal. Clang, clang, clang with the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When he smiled, you could feel the car shake. He tipped his hat and took a seat. He said he hoped he hadn't stepped upon my feet. He asked my name, I held my breath. I couldn't speak because he scared me half to death. Buzz, buzz, buzz went the buzzer. Flop, flop, flop went the wheels. Stop, stop went my heartstrings. As he started to leave, I took hold of his sleeve with my hand. And as if it were planned, he stayed on. There's no denying you feel blue, you feel sad. You'll miss the bestest pal you ever had. There'll come a time, now don't forget it. There'll come a time when you'll regret it. Oh, baby, think what you're doing. My love for you is gonna drive me to ruin. After you've gone, after you've gone.
Have
if you're a fan of the Carnegie Hall concert, you'll hear a lot of similar couplings.
This is WRUU-LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul.
You're listening to WRUU, your local radio station, for people just like you, hosted by people from your community. The voices you hear are your neighbors, coworkers, and others from the Savannah and Lowcountry area. In other words, WRUU is your community radio station. Please help us by donating whatever you can to help your neighbors and friends stay on the air. Go to WRUU.org and support your local radio station. Any amount is welcomed. Thank you for your support of WRUU.
Natasha Drina and Chris Brent Davis are starring in an upcoming cabaret performance at the historic Savannah Theater entitled You Made Me Love You, a Judy Garland Cabaret, which is one night only on June 22nd at 7 p.m. They'll be singing a wide range of songs from throughout Judy Garland's career. This is a fundraiser for the Savannah Repertory Theater, and tickets are available at www.savannahrep.org. The Savannah Wind Symphony is presenting its annual patriotic concert entitled America 250 on Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. in the Fine Arts Auditorium of the Armstrong Campus of Georgia Southern University, 11935 Abercorn Street, Savannah. Through powerful and familiar American music, this concert portrays the enduring spirit that continues to define America. Tickets are available at www.savannahwindsymphony.com. This music is often called classical music, but remember, Mozart, Beethoven, and Liszt were the rock stars of their time, so I simply call it great music. I'm your host, Dave Lake, and join me for four centuries of great music, with new episodes each week on Sundays from 3 to 5 p.m. We also have encores of these episodes on Saturdays from 3 to 5 p.m. from mid-June to early December. Welcome back to Music Local and Sustainable, and I'm your host, Dave Lake. Tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I'm talking with Natasha Drina and Chris Brent Davis about their upcoming cabaret performance at the historic Savannah Theater entitled You Made Me Love You, a Judy Garland Cabaret, which will be one night only, and it's on this coming Monday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. And this is a fundraiser for the Savannah Repertory Theater, and tickets are available by going to www.savannahrep.org.
I think there's such an interesting tie between her and Johnny Mercer also. So in this set list, I'm trying to get as many Johnny Mercer songs in. So many Harold Arlen songs. She says that in the concert, like Harold Arlen really writes all these songs. And she has this funny line where she's like, Harold, stand up. And he does. And she asks if, do you know who people? And then she's like, oh, of course, you know who he is. What am I being stupid? Like, it's Harold Arlen. We sing all of his music. But the Johnny Mercer connection is a little bit the talk of the town down in Savannah. Like, you know, were they lovers? Were they together? Did he write songs for her? I know they spent an evening here in a fancy downtown townhouse on a balcony drinking and smoking. That's like legend of Savannah. So choosing also the historic Savannah Theater, which sits just in the heart of the whole like vaudeville era time period, just felt also epic for Savannah Rep when we were talking about, oh, where should we do this show? That was kind of a no-brainer.
But there is a famous Judy Garland song from a movie that Johnny Mercer wrote.
Well, I always think of her doing Any Place I Hang My Hat Is Home.
That's my style. How do you do me? Watch me smile. Fare thee well, me, after a while, 'cause I've gotta roam, and any place I hang my hat is home. Sweetening water, cherry wine, thank you kindly, suits me fine. Kansas City, Caroline, that's my honeycomb, 'cause any place I have is home. Birds roosting in the trees pick up and go, and the going proves that's how it's gonna be. I pick up too. A voice in the lonesome wind that keeps whispering wrong. I'm going where the welcome mat is, no matter where that is. Any place I hang my hat is home. So long, friend, there's a voice in the lonesome wind that keeps whispering wrong. I'm going where the welcome mat is, no matter where that is, any place I hang my hat is home.
And also doing My Mama Once Told Me When I Was in Pigtails.
My mommy done told me when I was in pigtails. My mommy done told me, hon, man's gonna sweet talk and give you the big eye, but when a sweet talking's done, a man is a two-face, a worrisome thing who'll leave you to sing the blues in a night. Now the rains are falling, hear the train a-calling, hooey. Done told me, hear that lonesome whistle blowing across the trestle, hooey. My mommy done told me, a hooey da hooey, oh clickety clickety.
blacks echoing back the blues in the night. The evening breeze will stop the trees to cry, and then the moon will hide its light. When you get the blues in the night, to Mobile, from Memphis to St. Joe, wherever the four winds blow. I've been in some big towns and heard me some big talk, but there is one thing I know. A man is a two-face, a worrisome thing who leave you to sing the blues in a night. My mommy was right, there's blues in the night.
So I don't know which one you're talking about.
That's in Topeka and the Santa Fe.
Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe is, oh, the Harvey Girls.
The Harvey Girls.
You're right.
What a lovely trip. I'm feeling so fresh and alive, and I'm so glad to arrive. It's all so grand. It's easy to see, you don't need a palace to feel like Alice in Wonderland. Back in Ohio, where I come from, I've done a lot of dreaming and I've traveled some, but I never thought I'd see the day when I ever took a ride on the Santa Fe.
Wanna take a ride on the Santa Fe?
I would lean across my windowsill and hear the whistle echoing across the hill. Then I'd watch the lights till they fade away on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. What a thrill!
What a great, big, wonderful thrill!
With the wheels a-singing westward, ho! Right from the day I heard them start,
the wheels
across the Kansas plains, New Mexico. I guess I've got a little gypsy in my heart. When I'm old and gray and settled down, if I ever get a chance to sneak away from town, then I'll spend my busman's holiday on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. All aboard!
We came across a country like an express road.
On the Atchison, Topeka.
Yep. I'm not doing that one this time.
I was going to say, you know what else I realized that we're not doing? You Made Me Love You.
No, it's in the medley.
Is it? Do you want to know why I don't remember? Because we didn't run that medley.
Oh, we did.
The other day. We didn't run the other, because we were like, oh, we don't need to do the medley. We never want to do the medley until we're doing the medley.
That's true. That's
okay,
true.
Okay, great. Phew. I was very concerned. I was like, why have we not put You Made Me Love You in the show?
It's funny. You're getting to learn our dynamic a little bit. I had the same thought where I was like, should I do it twice? Like, should I then do You Made Me Love You? Like,
as the encore?
Because I love the beginning that never gets done. You know, that's a song she did as a teenager, you know, with Clark Gable. Dear Mr. Gable, I am writing this to you, and I hope that you will read it so you know. Yeah, that part, the little recitative never gets done, and I think it's so sweet.
Well, I'm glad we're doing it. I was very concerned this morning.
We would have to add it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it had to say, wait a second, that's the name of the show.
I know, that's the name of the show. It just so aptly, I mean, other people do tributes to Judy Garland and they call it Get Happy or they call it Zing or they call it, you know, a variety of things. Most of the time in these shows, what I learned a decade back was people are always curious about why I do the Judy Garland concert and why I sound like her. And I didn't realize anybody would be interested in that actually until End of the Rainbow, with Chris, and we had a friend that asked, and then I started to kind of weave my story of her shaping me as an artist and a musician into the show. And so that's quite a bit of what you'll see in the first set is just going through how it all came to be. Because I've been doing this since college, and I performed a cabaret as Judy Garland at 88's in New York City in probably like 1996, 97, accompanied by one of her piano players from the time period that she was going through a lot of piano players. So he doesn't, you know, he only played for her for a very, very short time.
And so as the framework then of the show is going to be you tracing your journey, your musical journey with Judy Garland.
Yes, that's what the You Made Me Love You is. Yeah, and this year, this, you know, it's on Monday because that's actually Pride Day. It's also the same day that Judy passed. And so there's a lot of history there that some people believe and some people don't, but that some part of the riots on June 22nd started because people were really sad and fed up. Like, she had died in London and the word had gotten back to New York City. So I think when the police came just yet again down into Manhattan on another hot summer night and were harassing the LGBTQIA plus community, that's when Martha P decides to just throw a brick back. Not tonight, you know? And so, I mean, I'm not saying that Judy Garland's death caused the riots. They, you know, the community had been harassed for, oh gosh, forever. You know, they had been arresting people in the gay bars and the dance halls and things more from minority groups. And so that night, people stayed, like the businessmen that didn't want to get caught, like the people, you know, everybody just kind of stayed and were like, we're not going to do this anymore. So although a Monday seems really weird, you know, Judy's birthday is in June and she passes away in June, and we don't do Pride in Savannah in June. We do it in October because it's so hot. So it just felt like a really right time for Chris and I to celebrate her life and celebrate the community that loved her so much on a Monday in Savannah.
Well, and you brought up then the close association between the gay community and Judy Garland. Why? Why is this the connection? I've never understood that.
I'm trying to think what it has been for me, because obviously, like, I was a little boy who wanted ruby slippers. Like, I definitely had my own pair of ruby slippers. I think the older that I get, the more that I realize it has a lot to do with Wizard of Oz. There's so much about the idea of being the right person in the wrong place and being able to imagine a world that you can go to. And there's so much escapism in Wizard of Oz. And then I think, you know, as I've gotten older, the part of it that really resonates with me now is the sort of coming home aspect of it. Because she still gets to be the right person. And now she gets to be the right person in the right place with what she learned from the Wizard of Oz. Because, you know, along the way, she meets these people that seemingly are not going to be very helpful. You know, a man made of straw, a lion, and a tin man. And she was with people that told her that she couldn't do anything. They were like, get out of the house, go away, you're not right, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And then she saves the day. And I think that that, and then the fact that she gets to come home and realize that those people were actually there all along and she just had to own her power and like focus on what she needed to get done. Yeah. I think that that is where it comes from. At least that's where it comes from for me.
I think she also just was a little bit like always being persecuted or always being the underdog, like because of the addictions and things that came from all of those years. You know, people were always counting her out, always thinking like she wasn't going to make a comeback. And, you know, for a community that's always kind of pushed down, to see someone rise above, I just think it speaks a lot to who she was and someone to root for. And someone, she was just always kind to the community in a way.
Correct.
She didn't shun them. I mean, they think one of her husbands was gay. She had many flaws, but in that time period, she was not ostracizing friends, piano players, costume designers, hairdressers. You know, she was openly working with people. Yeah, I think that she's just really loved. You know, there is the symbolism of the rainbow. You know, I don't know what comes first or in those decisions, but she also... you know, I grew up in San Francisco and as a young person knew the Friends of Dorothy code.
Funny story. I actually learned that, like, I think within like the first week after I left Into the Rainbow in 2014 was the first time anyone ever used the phrase Friend of Dorothy with me.
Like, oh,
I was,
wow.
It was like the first week I was having lunch at my new, my next job. And he was like, are you a friend of Dorothy? And I was like, I don't know what that means, but I love Judy Garland.
Well, I remember very distinctly for, it must have been one season of the Judy Garland show, but it came on right after Ed Sullivan. So you had the Ed Sullivan show at 8 and then Judy Garland at 9. After that 1 year, I think we switched to Bonanza or something like that. But it was a family time. Family was together, had popcorn. I remember very distinctly popcorn and apple and a little bar of Hershey's chocolate. So it's just vivid memory.
Oh. You know why she got canceled? She sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic the night that JFK died. She sang the Battle Hymn of the Republic because she wanted to do something for him, and the network didn't want her to. The cameraman, everybody like stayed on her and stayed with her as a surprise ending. I think they cut it off like slightly early before it's completely like you hear the applause and things. And then the next day they tell her they won't be doing another season of the Judy Garland show.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth his trumpet that will never
before his judgment seat. Oh, peace with my soul, be answering. Be my feet, my jubilant feet.
So that was one of those ones she didn't self-destruct and get back into the drugs and alcohol. That one is a really sad story to me because, you know, she was, you know, finally getting a regular paycheck. And I do think she was doing a lot for new artists, you know, introducing. I mean, obviously there was like the Count Basie Orchestra was on and Ethel Merman is on it. She introduces, did she introduce Liza Minnelli on her show or the Ed Sullivan show? She calls her Uzi Langar. Because she doesn't want the nepotism, but she introduces her as Uzi Langar and she comes out and sings. Yeah, I'll have to go back and rewatch that one and know the like exact history. But so the falling out is because she chose to honor JFK.
Well, that surprises me that CBS would fire someone for political reasons. So tonight on Savannah Music Local and Sustainable, I've been talking with Natasha Drina and Chris Brent Davis about their upcoming cabaret performance at the historic Savannah Theater entitled You Made Me Love You, a Judy Garland Cabaret, which is one night only and is this coming Monday, June 22nd at 7 p.m. And it is a fundraiser for the Savannah Repertory Theater. And tickets are available by going to www.savannahrep.org. And I want to thank you so very much, Chris. And of course, always, Natasha, for being on the show tonight.
Thank you.
This has been another edition of Music Local and Sustainable. And I've been your host, Dave Lake. Save this time for another show next week.
Well, I know we ain't headed for the Hall of Fame. Gonna give it what we got, man, it ain't no shame. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2. Let me know if you can hear me. Check, check, 1, 2.